to feel our way into this tender quality of heart, this quivering of the heart that can happen when we touch into tenderness or suffering. So we'll begin with a practice, like we always do, and then I'll share a few reflections, and we'll have some time for connection and community building. So, and welcome, Mary Beth. Glad to have you here as well. So, so gifting yourself the opportunity of nesting into this moment. Finding a way of positioning the body that's kind. When we work with the heart qualities, it's particularly supportive to care for the body, to allow for as much support and settling as is possible. The heart can often more easily open when the body is comfortable. So beginning perhaps with a few slightly deeper breaths. And with each exhalation, allowing a letting go. Maybe even a gentle audible sigh. I've muted you all, so you can sigh to your heart's content without anybody else necessarily hearing you. And then letting the breath be easeful in the background. And bringing kind attention more directly to the body. Sweeping the warm sunbeam of your awareness down through the body, taking your time and care to check in and attend to those places in the body that hold a measure of tension or tightness. Letting the eyes rest back into their sockets. These eyes that in the pandemic spend so much time for so many of us staring at screens. And this is an opportunity to rest the eyes. And relaxing the muscles of the face and the jaw. softening through the throat. Letting the shoulders melt away from the ears, arms, and hands, growing heavy, soft wherever they lay. Relaxing through the abdomen, and as the belly softens, maybe allowing the low back to soften with it. We often carry the knots of fear in the stomach and that can feed a bracing through the body. So letting the breath fill the belly on the next inhalation. Inviting the whole torso to release on the exhalation. Letting go of any holding or contraction that might be in the legs, in the lower body. That impulse to move that can often be there just beneath the surface. Allowing the lower body to settle into the support of the chair or the cushion beneath, behind you. Letting feet be received by the earth. And as you rest the body on the earth, let your mind rest its awareness, its attention on the body, allowing the thinking muscle to relax. You might rest attention on a felt sense of the body as a whole, or maybe a more focused attention on the felt sense of the breath. Either way, it's a simpler place for the mind to rest. There's a great kindness in this simplification. And of course, the mind will feel that magnetic pull to thoughts, ideas, plans for the day. And that's not a problem. You can simply gift the mind this opportunity to rest on a felt sense of breath or body for just this little while. from this place of perhaps more quiet, a stillness or a steadying of the mind. It doesn't mean the mind is blank or empty, but the steadying of the body and the mind in this moment. Offers an opportunity to explore the natural capacities of the heart. And so I invite you, if you wish, to call to mind a moment of happiness or contentment or ease or perhaps joy in the life of someone you care about. Might be a moment of a child, a grandchild giggling or playing. Or the delight of a cat purring in your lap or a dog playing in the snow. Or maybe just, you know, simply walking by someone who has a smile in their eyes or a sense of ease in their step, and just noticing how connecting with this moment, this experience of contentment or ease or joy, how that's experienced in your body. No expectations, just curiosity. What's it like to connect? With a moment of another's joy. And now, opening your heart to a moment of tenderness or difficulty, pain or sorrow. It might be this same friend or beloved child or pet or loved one in a moment of sadness or suffering, a moment of being sick or afraid or disappointed, or it might be another friend, another loved one. And calling to mind their experience in a moment of difficulty, touching into the story of it just enough so that you might feel a movement in your own heart in some way, in response to their pain. Not demanding anything of your heart, but again, being curious. What arises as you open to this other dimension of human experience? Loss, pain. Noticing if there's some way that a quality of care arises within you. Maybe a softening in your own heart. Maybe a sense of a tug or a tenderness. There might be a quality of contraction or fear. Or maybe there's a wish for this other person to experience peace or ease. Just letting yourself be curious about the movements of your own heart in response to another's suffering. And if there's a quality of caring that's arising in some way that wants to be expressed, maybe just in a felt sense of warmth offered in the direction of this loved one, maybe in the offering of some kind words, I care about your pain. Or I'm here, you're not alone. Or may you be free from this hurting. If there's some authentic expression of care that's flowing out of you, allow that to happen in whatever way your heart wants to express in this moment. And as we come to the final minutes of this practice today, you might explore how far this quality of care might want to extend out into the world. Reflecting on how the capacity of the heart to respond to both the joys and sorrows of the world might be of benefit to those you might touch in your world today. How this capacity for a caring, responsive heart might be a gift of support or of solace. To those you come in contact with, and maybe even those you don't, just this field of care. And perhaps as we close today, offering a wish that all beings know the gift of care and kindness in their lives in some way, that all beings know ease and peace and safety, and that all beings are free from suffering. May it be so. So, I thought I'd share just a few brief reflections on this heart quality of compassion flowing out of joy. You know, these qualities of the heart are really our natural capacities. You know, as I've quoted before, sometimes the Dalai Lama describes kindness as the wish for all beings to be happy, and compassion as the wish for all beings to be free of suffering. So it's like kindness is this foundation, and as we talked about, sometimes, you know, it's often described loving kindness, which can feel like a really high bar. So we were talking about kindness or goodwill as sometimes more accessible. But it's this quality of warm-heartedness or friendliness. And with that as the basis, this heart is responsive. And so when this heart meets others' joy, often what opens in us is a sense of joy or delight. There's an echo of that. It's the heart's natural capacity. And then when the heart encounters sorrow or disappointment or loss, often the echo is, or the upwelling is, compassion. And it's not something that we manufacture. It has this natural arising. One of my favorite quotes from the self-compassion class is by a Scottish teacher of the last name Nairn, and they say that, you know, it's like when the sunshine of kindness meets the raindrops of sorrow, the rainbow of compassion arises. So it's like, you know, there wasn't a lot of effort. The sun and the rain come together, and there's this rainbow, and compassion arises in much the same way in our own hearts. You know, true compassion is much less effortful than we often think it is. You know, it is quite a joyful feeling. There is an uplift to compassion. Empathy, which we often mix up with compassion, is the feeling with or feeling other people's feelings. You know, when you're sitting with somebody who's sad and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I am really down. I'm really heavy-hearted right now. There's this way that we sort of pick up, you know, that energetic vibration, and we resonate with that. And empathy is a beautiful, you know, capacity as well, but it can be quite heavy at times. Compassion has this lightness, because what compassion is the heart's outpouring of care. I care about you in this really difficult moment. It's not the same thing as carrying what somebody else is carrying. It's caring, not carrying. And so there's a lightness to it. You know, for me, I think about this a lot as a therapist. I sit with people and people are like, how do you do that all day? Oh my gosh, you must just feel like you've picked up 1,000 pounds by the end of the day. And often I don't, because my practice in sitting with people is the practice of compassion. I don't spend my days picking up everything that my clients walk in the door with. Like, you know, I may have a day where people show up and it's like, you know, my niece just got diagnosed with cancer and my friend just committed suicide and I haven't seen my family for 9 months because of COVID and I, you know, all these things. And where my heart rests is, wow, I love you. I love you and I'm so sorry that, wow, things are really hard and I'm going to sit in my care with you, but I'm not going to pick up the cancer diagnosis and the suicide and the loneliness, but I'm going to sit right here with you and feel the energy of relationship and connection in this moment. So compassion is a very present moment, engaged, relational experience of the heart. There's also this energy of action in compassion. I mean, often we do feel this movement, like I care and I want to do something about it. That's one of the other places it can get heavy, because we can pick it up like it's my responsibility to fix it for you. And, you know, that's particularly hard when this is my kid or my partner or my, you know, we can. And there's a quality of, I like one of my teachers, Gil Fronsdale, points to that compassion, the Pali word for compassion is karuna, K-A-R-U-N-A, which has a similar root to the word karma, which is action, K-A-R-M-A, is actually action. And he sometimes talks about compassion as sacred action. It's sacred action. It's not the I have to solve all these problems, but it's the sacred action of caring. So how might I offer you care? So the care might be I'm going to listen, or the care might be I'm going to go for a walk, or the care might be I'm, you know, with you. I'm going to help you explore what are your options or what are your resources. But it's not necessarily the picking up out of obligation or duty or the heaviness of responsibility in the way that we often use that word in English. But it's an action of care. And I love, those of you who know me, you know, well, I love neuroscience. And one of the things that I love is the fMRI studies they've done with people who, you know, they hook up all the electrodes on your brain, and they've studied people engaged in compassion practice. One of the parts of the brain that lights up is the motor cortex. So that impulse to action is actually represented even in our brain activity. But I really, over my own lifetime of practicing compassion, have found that action benefits from our mindful, careful awareness, because there's the action that we pick up in a way as a burden, and there's the action we pick up that's actually in the service of care and support. So it's a place that our practice can really help us attune to self and other. You know, one of the things I also really love about compassion practice is that when it's anchored in our mindfulness, in our meditation, in our awareness, there's a steadiness to it. So we began, and over half of our practice today was just the quieting, the resting, the settling. It's like not rushing into that action of engaging in caring for or rescuing the whole world. It's like we steady ourselves, and from that steady place, there can be clear, compassionate seeing and service and support for the world and those that we touch. So there's that, you know, that sacred action that's more skillful and more sustainable. And because it's coming out of our steadiness of our practice, and it's also coming out of the warmth of our own hearts, self-compassion, which is like a whole other topic we can explore in depth, and we might circle back to that in the new year. But what I love about compassion is self-compassion is embedded right there in the practice, because if it comes out of our own hearts, the first heart compassion touches is our own. We sometimes forget that, but it starts here and it radiates out. So we don't skip over this heart. We go right through this heart, and we need to attend to our own well-being before and simultaneously as we attend to the world. And so there's this quality, and this is where we'll go next week with equanimity. There is this quality of steadiness and balance that sustains us through compassion, so that we're not actually distressed by the suffering of the world. And it doesn't mean that we're not touched or we're not even heartbroken about what's happening in the world, but we can actually be heartbroken. We can have our hearts broken open without necessarily being distressed. So equanimity will further illuminate that. But I think I'll pause here and gift you a short period of time in our breakout rooms. And those of you who are new, this is certainly optional, but we'll take about 6 minutes, and just in small groups. And if you would like to just share reflections on compassion, how does it manifest in your life? What supports you in the expression of compassion? What gets in the way? You know, knowing that is really valuable too. So enjoy each other if you wish, and I'll look forward to seeing you next week. I know some of you have to duck out early, so... Welcome back. I'll just see if there's anything that wants to be spoken. Yeah, Karen. Thank you, Karen. Yeah. Anything else before we close with just a short, very short quote? Take care, Ellen. So, I'll just close with, this is from Jack Kornfield. He says, "Compassion arises naturally as the quivering of the heart in the face of pain, ours and another's. True compassion is not limited by the separateness of pity nor by the fear of being overwhelmed. When we come to rest in the great heart of compassion, we discover a capacity to bear witness to, suffer with, and hold dear with our own vulnerable heart the sorrows and beauties of the world." And then a short quote by Tartang Tulka. "Loving compassion is like sunlight, awakening and bringing joy to beings. Its beauty is like a rainbow, lifting the hearts of all who see it." So, may each of you in the coming week be a rainbow of compassion for others and receive the rainbow of compassion in those moments that you might need it. And it's been such a joy. What a beautiful 9 months.